Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The deadline to sign up for health insurance runs through this Sunday, midnight, end of Sunday. As of last week, a total of 211,000 people had signed up for coverage this year in Maryland. Unlike last year, this year the state's online insurance marketplace has worked successfully. 5 years after the first provisions of the Affordable Care Act were enacted, today we're asking, how is the ACA working in Maryland? With us by phone to talk about it is Brendan Saloner. He's an assistant professor of health policy at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I should say, you're in California, right? You're up real early to talk to us. I appreciate that.
I am, because I'm so excited to talk about health reform today.
Okay. With us in studio is Gene Ransom, Chief Executive Officer of the Maryland State Medical Society, MedCAI. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Brendan Saloner, one of the main goals of the Affordable Care Act is to increase the number of people with health insurance in the U.S. Here in Maryland, as I mentioned, about 211,000 people have signed up for health insurance so far this year. One big question is the cost of health insurance. How has the ACA affected how much people pay for health insurance?
It's a great question. For consumers, the cost of health insurance has gone down, especially if they are eligible for subsidies, which many are, through the online marketplaces in the Affordable Care Act. So nationally, if you look at the data on what consumers are paying, consumers are reporting a decrease in their out-of-pocket spending, which is good news.
But is most of that because of the government subsidies, or is insurance actually costing less?
Well, what I'm referring to is the cost of insurance after subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of premiums, just overall, without factoring in subsidies, are increasing in all insurance markets, but the growth of insurance premiums has been actually relatively low in the last few years.
And do you have any sense of whether Maryland is on trend nationally with that?
Maryland looks pretty typical from the data that I've seen. Some of the plans are actually going down in the non-group market. So this year, the Kaiser plans actually are a little bit less expensive than they were. Some of the plans have gone up. So it's a mixed picture. On average, the premiums in Maryland have been increasing, but they're not too far out of the national norm.
Gene Ransom, let's talk about doctors. Are doctors seeing more patients with insurance as a result of the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, they definitely are. There are really two factors with regards to that. There was the Medicaid increase that was part of ACA, and there are a lot more Medicaid folks in Maryland. There's about 400,000 new Medicaid patients on the rolls that really is related to ACA activity. And the exchange is a little different for us because the Maryland rollout was so bad in the first year. So few people ended up with private insurance. Doctors haven't seen the full impact of the health insurance exchange, although they're beginning to see that now, and we're beginning to have effects from the exchange, the new patients in the exchange.
Give me a brief sense of the impact on doctors, the difference between seeing new Medicaid patients and new private
insurance
patients.
Well, I think the biggest concern from the insurance exchange is, well, let's say there's one thing that's positive. Maryland actually made the plans match the private market pretty closely. So some of the other issues we're hearing about in other states, like network adequacy and some other things, are not quite as bad in Maryland as we are hearing in other states, and that's a positive. One of the things that doctors are starting to see, they're very concerned about, is in the insurance exchange, particularly in like the bronze plan, the deductibles are very high. So it shifts risk to patient. There's a lot of patients. There's also something called the 90-day rule, which essentially shifts risk to hospitals and doctors after the first 30 days if the patient doesn't pay the premium. And when you're shifting risk away from the insurance companies into patients, they make decisions differently. We've heard anecdotes from physicians who said patients are making decisions not to get tests or procedures done because their deductible hasn't been met, and they're waiting to see if that's going to change later on in the year. And that's something that's very troubling.
Let me ask you about the cuts to Medicaid that former Governor O'Malley initiated in the fall, Governor Larry Hogan plans to continue. How do those cuts change the equation as to whether a doctor accepts a new Medicaid patient?
That's a major factor. So really the ACA kind of did three things, if you simplify it. One was they set up the insurance exchange. The second thing was they did some insurance reforms. And the third thing was they came up with a plan to expand Medicaid. And in Maryland, we went full bore with the Medicaid expansion. Most of the folks who were signing up people for insurance ended up signing them up in Medicaid, and we ended up with close to 400,000 new Medicaid enrollees during this period. So one of the reasons physicians were so willing to see these new patients is because as part of the ACA in Maryland, we increased payment for primary care services for something called evaluation and management codes, and we said we're going to pay doctors the same for Medicaid as we do for Medicare. So doctors would get paid for Medicaid patients exactly as they do for Medicare patients. Governor O'Malley, on the way out the door, cut those rates down to 87% of Medicare. And obviously, Medicaid patients can be much more complex than a fully insured patient with a private plan or a Medicare patient. So when you pay people less to do what they could do in the other marketplace for more, less doctors are going to be willing to take it. They're going to close their panels, and those kind of decisions are going to be made, and it creates access problems.
And that's what you're seeing?
Yes,
among your doctors.
Definitely. We're hearing from physicians that they're going to be doing things like closing their panels, seeing less Medicaid patients. And the problem with that is that shifts those patients into more expensive places, like the emergency room and other places where they get the care that ironically ends up in the long run costing the system more money. The best place for folks to get their care is in that primary care office. It's the best care. It's less expensive, and more preventative measures can be given. So we were really disappointed with Governor O'Malley and his cuts to the physician community, which really are going to hurt poor people.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Gene Ransom, CEO of the Maryland State Medical Society, MedCHI. And with us by phone is Brendan Saloner, an assistant professor of health policy at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. We're talking about how the Affordable Care Act is changing health care in Maryland. Brendan Saloner, how do we know yet if people have found a health care provider?
It's going to take a little bit of time. So if folks signed up for coverage in 2014, then some of them still haven't fully established care with the provider. The data that we have available right now suggests that there's been a slight uptick in people actually going to see primary care providers. It hasn't been anything too dramatic. There's been a decrease in the number of people who say that they have some kind of unmet healthcare need, which is also a positive that we think is connected to the Affordable Care Act. But the reality is that there's going to be a couple of years where there's going to be a slow take-up in folks actually getting into care with a primary care provider.
There's a recent report from the Maryland Parity Project that found in the area of mental health, less than half the psychiatrists in the networks offered by qualified health plans were actually reachable, only 43%. Many of the phone numbers and the addresses were wrong. Some listed weren't even psychiatrists. Brendan, does this problem extend beyond the mental health area?
It does. There's a general issue that needs to be ironed out with making sure that when people sign up for health insurance that they know which doctors are in their network. And the problem for that is multifaceted, but one of the issues is that the insurers have not been as responsive in making sure that their new enrollees have up-to-date and accurate information on which doctors are in their networks. And that can be very frustrating for consumers because, as you can imagine, if you think that a doctor is going to take your insurance, then you call up and they either say, no, we're not, or you can't get accurate information, that can be a source of discouragement. So one of the changes that I'd like to see is better access to this kind of information for consumers.
Gene Ransom, I want to pull you into that, but first I want us to hear from Carmela Coyle. Producer Matt Purdy spoke yesterday with Carmela Coyle, who is CEO of the Maryland Hospital Association, to get a sense of what hospitals are seeing with the Affordable Care Act. Here's part of what she told us.
People now have health care coverage, but the state, in exchange, has reduced payments to hospitals that they used to receive for treating people who didn't have health insurance coverage. So financially, it's a wash. The real difference for hospitals is we now have these you know, hundreds of thousands of people who previously only had access to a hospital emergency department, and now they have access to a primary care provider and skilled nursing facility care and home health nurses.
So this reference that Carmela makes to access to a primary care provider, it's been an ongoing issue in Maryland. Jean, what are you seeing? Are there enough primary care providers?
No, there are not. There are not enough primary care physicians. And everybody should have a primary care physician that they see and that they're getting care from. And I think another issue is there needs to be stronger laws and regulations around network adequacy. Insurers and in the Medicaid market, MCOs, managed care organizations, do not have enough rules around requiring them to have adequate networks. And that's something that we're going to support legislatively and regulatorily, that we put more restrictions on insurance companies so they're required to have adequate networks so patients really get care from a real physician. The other issue that was brought up was the idea of transparency. One of the other problems we're seeing is patients are not able to make good decisions when they're signing up because it's so confusing. And having the website be more transparent and easier for them to understand if a drug they're taking is in the plan and covered or if a doctor's in network would be an incredible asset for patients as they're making these decisions.
Brandon, we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to ask you briefly, one of the provisions that's been in place longest is the one that allows people under age 26 to stay on their to stay on their parents' plan until they're 26. Are you how is that working? Briefly.
Sure, it's working really well. That provision went into effect in 2010. It still is very much in force. It's effective. And it basically means that young adults under the age of 26 are able to remain on their parents' health insurance coverage. And from my work and from the work of my colleagues, we're seeing that that provision has had a dramatic effect in increasing access to general health services, to mental health services, to hospital services, to all the kinds of care that
Brandon, we're up against the news. We have to leave it there. I want to thank you, Brandon Saloner, Assistant Professor of Health Policy at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Here with me is Jean Ransom, CEO of the Maryland State Medical Society. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Stay with
thank
us
you.
On 88.1.